Everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. It's the week before Comic-Con, and we're all excited, but today we're talking about D23, and we're going to talk about Infinity War, and then there's some Ant-Man stuff, and there's so much Black Panther to talk about! Just hang right there. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie.
You're supposed to keep the sound off.
I had to break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Because I'm in character. I was watching you watch us talk about us talking about watching
very,
Marvel.
It's very true. It's very true. No, I see what you did there. You're fifth wall breaking.
Fifth wall
breaking. Yeah, you're like tremendous.
As dressed as Coy dressed like as Deadpool watching Matt.
Mega meta.
I love how the first thing that the chat room said is like, wait, why isn't Matt cosplaying?
I know.
It's because Matt's a Wiz cosplay.
Listen, everybody. I have a very sick cat at home, and I should have checked my costume closet last night, but I forgot to because I have a sick cat. And I know that sounds like the worst excuse ever, but it is like tremendously like disparaging. And then I didn't realize this morning, until this morning, that my costume is still at Geek and Sundry, where I wear it all the time for Signal Boost stuff. So anyway.
Worth noting, his cat's name is Hawkeye, and he's a gentleman Avenger. So if anyone's going to be sick, you got to respect Hawkeye.
Yeah.
He's great. He's a gentleman.
He's our nerdy,
fantastic,
asthmatic, allergic to everything.
He's the
little
Urkel
kitty
of cats.
Yeah, he really truly is the Urkel of cats. Like, leave it to us to get the nerdiest cat ever. All right, everybody, hi. Speaking of cats, we have the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 139 coming to you live from the unfortunate far, far, far away planet of Al Agulo. We tell you all the news from all of the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. I even made sure to put it in the notes that I just didn't like swipe over it. It's the first planet in Jonathan Hickman's Infinity that Corvus Glaive hits for tribute, and the tribute, by the way, is like severed heads of like every military man on the planet.
Tribute,
because we're talking, we got some big Infinity War stuff to talk go over today. Anyway, subscribe to us, can tell I've been away for this for 2 weeks. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. Also on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk, also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Guys, you can tweet a link out on Twitter or on Facebook telling people about our live chat. Aunt Manthony in the booth will retweet you. Hi, Aunt Manthony. Oh, man. Very enthusiastic hello from you. I am Matt Key at the Matt Key, and we are joined, as always, by Markia McCarty. And you are dressed as, let me guess, Silver Surfer. Is it Silver Surfer?
It's Atomic Blonde. No way.
You are a fantastic Storm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Your Twitter is at MarkieAmccarty.
Yes. That is it exactly.
This is why she's been lobbying for that solo Storm movie. We're on her now.
Yeah.
Oh,
you want.
Oh, God, I would do
oh
it.
My
this
God.
Is the viral
you would,
marketing.
I would do it.
You would
I could go
at
through
it.
The. Yeah, I
you
could go through the phases of different life because I don't age.
Yeah, no, you don't.
This is how
you
I
don't
looked when I was 17. So.
And you would probably know exactly how to say that line. About
to know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what's
what happens
funny
to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
What's funny? Yeah, what's funny is that I don't even have to say anything beyond. You would know how to say that line, and you know immediately what line I'm talking about.
Absolutely,
yeah, it's great.
It's the iconic
Joss Whedon's
iconic
best work.
Joss Whedon's best work. Do. Also, we have Coy Jandreau at CoyJandreau.
And just realize how big this makes my head look.
Because your headphones are on, yeah.
I am a watcher of the pool.
Welcome to our show, guys. And we have Ollie.
Hi, guys.
Associate
good
producer,
to be back.
Assistant
yes
producer. Ollie.
Wearing
dressed
his Spider-Man onesie.
Homemade, you know.
Dude, it's dope.
No, but
yeah, it looks
what
good. It looks
I
good
like to do like this thing I call cosplay. It's like you find mm stuff
uh-huh
out of your closet and you
yeah
cosplay with
Closport
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, that was so
closet
rad.
You killed it, man.
Cosplay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's like super like Scarlet Spidery because I love that costume for being Scarlet Spidery. So that's
I love the reverse too. Like,
yeah.
So.
And then joining Ollie on the couch is the one and only Jonathan Keyser.
Hello,
Jonathan. You are a fan. You're on the Cosmic Couch with Ollie today. You reached out to Coy, and Coy was like, "You should be on our show." Welcome to the show. It's good
Thank
to have you.
For you. Me.
Tell us two things about yourself that we need to know.
Went to school for illustration to do children's books.
Yeah, you did. That's awesome.
And I don't do children's books.
Oh.
And I have one daughter who's two and another one on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Comic fans in the making.
I know. I'm trying.
Who's your favorite Marvel character?
It's a toss-up between Spider-Man and Wolverine. So
nice.
Thankfully, I've gotten two good movies so far. So
you've
I'm
had
happy,
a good year,
so.
Like I have. That's
I
good.
All right. Well, let's jump to it. First of all, we have a mailbag segment, which we rarely have anything like that,
so
but
much.
We have a lot. First of all, Jonathan, you brought in a couple of gifts.
I did. I didn't come empty-handed.
Which
actually...
you don't need to do, by the way. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, it's very much appreciated.
But we do appreciate it.
Bringing
thank you.
Bringing things is encouraged.
It is. Matt's being nice. We like gifts.
Bring us tribute before we kill all of the able-bodied men on your planet.
Severed heads were not brought. So,
thankfully. So, what did you bring, Mr. Keezer?
This is for Koi.
Oh my god, I love it so much!
Oh, that's awesome. Is that
this is the poster I freaked out about online? This is the
oh my god!
Right.
This is my favorite superhero poster of the last like 5 years. This
that's
is
a
like,
really good one.
Perfect.
For the YouTube, iTunes listeners, it's a poster with it's an illustration, just a little one sheet illustration of Peter Parker, but like there's a spiral going around him, and inside the spiral is Spider-Man. So,
yeah,
Google it.
Yeah, we'll see if we can put it up on our Twitter so you can see it a little bit later. And then you have a gift for Markia and myself.
That's
for you, Matt. Oh, nice. Oh my god, it's the Doctor Strange
it's
collector's
Storm.
How appropriate are those today? You're dressed as your
now I feel even worse that I'm not dressed as Doctor Strange.
I couldn't find the rest of my of my Storm cosplay, but I do have this little head.
Oh, you have the that's awesome.
Somewhere.
That's effing cool.
But
right.
I wore what I had.
Now you I'm sorry.
No.
You know what?
Don't you apologize.
I wore what I had, and what I had was nothing because it's a Geek and Sundry.
But what are you going to do next week for us?
I'm going to dress as Doctor Strange. I'm going to go get the costume and come in, and I'm going to be the only one dressed as Doctor Strange. So, there's okay. That. You know who this is from. I don't know
yes.
anything about this.
Yes.
One.
Thanks. DC Movie News. They actually gave this to us. They got a
wait. DC Movie News gave this to us.
Yeah, they gave it to us.
That's so sweet. I didn't know that.
You see what happens when fans bond together. DC and Marvel for life.
Man, Wonder Woman. Oh, so good.
Yeah, but they got it from Tommy Vargas from Factory Entertainment, and he sent them a bunch of Comic-Con like exclusives.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then last week I showed the Black Panther metal miniature, which is now at home and has a place in my bureau, but also received this metal miniature of Deadpool.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys see this?
What? Absolutely gorgeous.
Hold it, Koi. Hold it proud.
Yes, and you can buy this on their website, I believe. Well, it's listed as, you know, it has a price next
to
it.
He's so sassy!
Factory Entertainment. Thank you, Tommy Vargas, and thank you, DC Movie News.
Yeah.
Specifically, Johnny Laquasto, who I draw with.
I've never seen one of these.
Johnny Laquasto's great.
Yeah,
he's got
good people.
A grenade launcher, two swords, two katanas, guns, pouches, and sass. Everything Deadpool needs.
All of it. All right, we've got a lot to talk about, so yeah. I hate to push us, but...
Can we keep opening mail?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
okay. Yeah, let's go.
we will be appreciating these for the entire show.
I got something from McClure in Texas for the Marvel panel. Oh, that's so sick! It's Deadpool art.
Oh, nice!
Ooh,
that's awesome!
Gorgeous.
That looks great!
I like
this. I love this style. Nicely done.
That's a really cool style.
Very nice style.
And then a letter... Oh, I'm going to be reading this after the show and telling you guys because there's a letter for each of us.
Oh, dude. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Who's that?
It's from McClure in Texas. I'm not sure the first name, but Brian, it looks like. Brian McClure, thank you. We'll be reading these
thank
after the show.
Thank you,
Brian. McClure.
And then we also got...
McClure for sure.
McClure, we appreciate
McClure
it. That is rad.
That's really cool. Thank you, Brian.
Chris Ecto sent us a letter I'm going to be reading after. And
he's got some fancy letterhead.
Chris Ecto has a letterhead, and that's always amazing.
that's more than what I have. I don't even have a letterhead.
Having a letterhead is impressive.
That's awesome.
He sent us, and we haven't looked at these.
We haven't looked at any of them.
Yeah.
I just know that they're like real.
This looks like Christmas, especially
with
Koi in the onesie. Cool. This is amazing.
It's Christmas in July.
Exactly. Marvel edition.
All right, so it looks to be that this
is from my
Markia.
God.
What? That is amazing!
Oh my God, look at this!
Dude! That is gorgeous!
My God.
Dude!
Is there a note? It looks like there's a note on the back.
Oh my god.
All I did was read the back.
Marvel movie news. Oft times when you slay the dragon, its blood stains more than your hands.
Oh, that is awesome.
Gosh.
Chris Ecto, sir.
Oh, you rule, dude. This is so going on my wall.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, dude.
I haven't looked yet, but it says Leroy Jenkins. Yes!
Oh, my
that
God.
Is amazing.
Dude! That's I know amazing. Where I'm hanging this already. I've already got a spot. I know exactly where this is going to live. Dude. Dude.
Oh, my God.
So for you iTunes listeners, Mr. Ecto sent Markia a really awesome Black Panther painting. On canvas, and then he sent a Deadpool painting to Koi.
And just imagine us all like losing our minds.
Yeah.
Visualize that. And then there are three
oh
in here.
What? Oh, that is beautiful. Oh, and it's a classic costume. That's like, ooh, that's like 70s.
Oh,
that's Gene Cole. Ooh.
Now, I can't read the back because there's more in here. So
oh, man. Here, I've got... I got scissors over here.
So, for our hour and a half show today,
Whoa,
I'll let you do the honors because there's more in there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, okay, while you do that, is there... Oh, wow!
These two can live together! These can live together in harmony! Spider Bowl is life!
Got all the things!
I got stuck on my torch.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Do we we can continue forward with Black Panther stuff while you do that.
Yeah, all right. Well,
it's a good idea.
Because it's now 8 minutes into the show. We haven't talked about Marvel at all. All right. Hey, everybody. So D23 was last week. We got a lot of really awesome news out of that. But in preparation of San Diego Comic-Con, Entertainment Weekly, before D23, released a big, giant, awesome early gift... that was an incredible amount of Black Panther pictures.
Like all the stuff.
And news.
Everything.
And quotes and everything. And we've got a lot of it down here. That's the Entertainment Weekly Comic-Con cover you're looking at right now. Let's just get into it. Aunt Anthony, why don't you just throw an image up there and I will start the conversation. All right, so... That's Black Panther. He's fighting at Warrior Falls.
It's T'Challa.
Sorry, I'm so distracted by this. I really...
The show's already over.
Okay,
We should have probably ended with this.
Yes, so for those that don't know, or, you know, refresh for those that do, you can't just automatically become Black Panther. You have to earn it, you know?
Yeah.
So this is him going through trials. And keeping in mind that in the comic books, Eric Killmonger once did earn the right to be
mm-hmm.
Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we don't know what they're actually going to do for the movie here, but this is T'Challa more than likely dueling for the mantle of being Black Panther.
Yeah, so... So here's what Kevin Feige had to say. Like, Entertainment Weekly put this quote along with this picture, saying, creating a character named Black Panther who comes across in those early comics as smarter than everybody else, shrewder than everybody else, comes from a country that is more advanced than any other country. They were doing this in the 60s, right in the middle of the civil rights movement. That's pretty good, and we are certainly not going to shy away from that. Oh my God, the other, it's another Black Panther painting. Oh my God.
It is! It is from the back! He's just like, because he noticed the sound, and he's looking
so
over his
awesome.
Shoulder.
Ecto, you are killing it, man.
Everyone buy Chris Ecto art, just do it. Just make it a choice.
My hands are shaking.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
The last piece, and I'm quietly a giant Cyclops fan. This is so cool.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
He's the underappreciated X-Man.
And it's the classic, the newer X. Yeah, that's awesome.
Ooh.
Chris Ecto, dude, you killed it, man.
Yeah.
You
and he put a quote from Civil War on the back of this one. How long do you think you can hide your friend from me?
Oh, that's
Black
the best.
Panther from Civil
amazing.
War.
He wrote Gene.
Cyclops often on mine. He wrote Mr. Doctor. It's strange. Maybe who am I to judge?
Yes.
Excellent
Fantastic quote choices
quote.
As well,
yeah.
sir.
Well done, sir. Oh my God, I cannot wait to hang that. That
yeah.
is Chris Ecto. Chris Ecto, if you're at San Diego Comic Con and have a booth or anything, please let us know. And
he lives in New York.
Well, boost the signal.
Okay.
And anywhere you live, expect a hug from us.
Yeah. We're coming for you, Chris.
Yeah.
I get you on the couch sometime. So says Storm.
So saith Aurora Monroe.
Hey, that rang my nerd dinner bell right there.
Yeah,
like,
it absolutely did. That's
gorgeous.
Amazing. Dude, you're a great artist. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the movie news.
Yes.
Wow, that was unexpected. All of those gifts, unexpected. Thank you so much, everybody.
In one week,
yes. Oh, my goodness.
The bar is set, fans. See you next week.
All right. So here we have the full cast. Wow. That is beautiful.
That's beautiful.
It's amazing.
And, you know, for saying, I'm not a huge fan of Entertainment Weekly's photos, but right, I think that they really killed it on this one. And I'm just absolutely loving Nakia with the chakrams, where you see, like, like I said before, I have no problem with this being part of the Xenoverse those chakrams being made out of vibranium.
I also like that we always worry about Entertainment Weekly photos, and the cast and the imagery is so strong, there's nothing I'd change here. Like, even through the lens of a magazine that often prints stuff that we don't want to see in that condition, and humans photos, this looks amazing.
So, yeah, we've got the panther blasters and everything.
Can you go back to... Yeah, there. Thank you, M. Anthony. So, with this quote, this had its own... This picture, by the way, had its own page, and along with this... was a quote from Nate Moore, one of the producers, saying, what I think we landed on in terms of the tone for this film and sort of like the guiding principles for the narrative, what I think we landed on was a sort of cross between James Bond and The Godfather, a big operatic family drama centered on a world of international espionage. So hopefully we're getting the best of both worlds. And the article itself goes on to say, so one is a film about a son rising to fill the void of a fallen patriarch and the five families fighting for it. And the other is a fun-loving action series about a hero with a license to kill. Oh my God. So let's just parse that a little bit. We've got M'Baku.
Who's Winston Duke?
Played by Winston Duke, yes. And they're definitely not calling him Manic. There's no need.
Modernized, which is good. Uh-huh. He's from the gorilla tribe. Always moving forward.
They're a gorilla cult. They worship a gorilla deity in the same way the Black Panther family worships a panther deity.
Yeah, and you can't say it's wrong. They worship panthers.
But. Let's stay away from calling it a man ape, please. Yeah. But you've got that. Then you've also got Killmonger, whose original name is Njidaka, like, I want to say, right? I wrote it down just
like
in case.
It's like J-apostrophe-daka, something like that.
Njidaka. And he's from another tribe. So those are two of them. And then we need two more tribes that are kind of fighting five various fronts, with T'Challa being one of them.
They haven't really said anything about it except for that one shot that we see. But Ashibe, he's part of a river tribe, so that's a possibility.
Oh my God, yes,
very real possibility.
I
want to
see Ashibe so bad. Yes. He is such a sinister, evil, conniving character in the Christopher Priest run.
So smart too. Oh, I'm kind of hoping hoping that he's smart and relatable in the way that Michael Keaton's Vulture was.
Yeah, me too.
Where it's like, you do have to worry about outside influences, especially when you hold like the only source of vibranium on the planet. Vibranium is extremely dangerous.
Yeah. I've got something on vibranium here that I wanted to throw out there. I have all my quotes out of order. I apologize to you guys that I'm terrible at this job.
What was the gist of it?
It's essentially that they have been able to use vibranium in Wakanda for millennia, and they've created drugs, technology, transportation, architecture, all based on figuring out how to use this metal to its fullest.
Right,
and it is the vibranium that has created them to be the most technologically advanced culture on Earth. And it's like that one resource has allowed them to open all of those scientific doors that no one else on Earth has been able to do.
Yeah.
We know, like, from the comics, yes, that's true. But are they going to do that in the movie? Yes, they are.
Yes.
Oh my God. Like, just reading that was exciting to me. So let's see here. Oh, here it is. I found it. I had it under... Anyway. They've mined it, experimented with it, and used it to develop medicines, vehicles, and weaponry that make the rest of the industrialized nations look primitive. Oh my God, I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think about it. I like this world that they're building, and Wakanda...
Complete world building.
Wakanda fits right into it, because, you know, you have Tony Stark, and you have everything established with these incredible weapons mm-hmm. and everything. And like mm-hmm. the Stark Industries has been making these weapons for years, decades, mm-hmm. until like Tony turns around with it. Mm-hmm. And you see the rest of the army trying to catch up with that. So you have that. So then you introduce this culture, Wakanda, mm-hmm. where they have all of this already, and they've kept it under the radar yeah. until it's blown wide open, probably by Claw.
Probably like Claw, yeah. Or Killmonger.
Probably also. He's got a bone to pick. He gets exiled, so yeah.
Actually, I don't know if they're exiling him. There's been a couple quotes that makes it seem like they may not, because I thought that too until I was going back over the quotes last night and was like, wait just a minute. So let me, so here's, perfect. Good work, Aunt Anthony. So here we see Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa, now king, confronting Eric Killmonger, whose name is N'Jadaka, played by Michael B. Jordan. And here's what producer Nate Moore has to say. Something we felt was important was that Wakanda wasn't treated monolithically, meaning everybody agreed to do the same thing all the time. Wakanda has a lot of citizens who have a lot of different ideas of Wakanda and of what Wakanda should be. Killmonger is a voice of a different side of Wakanda. Boseman said of him, I can say that I identify with Killmonger's character. He definitely has a different point of view. They are polar opposites. But the way that the articles were written around that, it mm-hmm. doesn't sound like he's an exiled dissident, which, like, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like he needs to be, or do you think that he can operate in the same capacity if he's not exiled?
Well, the thing of it is that what are all of these pictures then of him being led into the throne room, and it doesn't look like he's coming there to talk. It looks like he's coming there to face some sort of judgment. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that he was exiled and then he ended up coming back. Mm-hmm. And I kind of see that happening with Tilda Johnson, because Tilda Johnson is New York based. Mm-hmm. So, and he's supposed to have been exiled to there.
Yeah.
So I don't see why it couldn't be that he then comes back because of all the unrest that's going with, Black Panther. Maybe he comes back for the Warrior Falls. Maybe he comes back mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. So that's a possibility. I'm okay if he isn't exiled, but I like having him as an outsider.
I definitely think he needs to be an outsider, but by the sound of it, it seems as if they're going to make him an outsider within Wakanda itself. And I personally am okay with that, as long as he serves the same purpose of, you're wrong, I'm right, I should be leading this country and fighting, and like bringing the fight to T'Challa. And I think that's probably what we're seeing at Warrior Falls, is him challenging the king for the rule. I think,
well, definitely. I would definitely think that that's what that is.
I think T'Challa probably ends up fighting him, and maybe that's what exiles him. He's like, you challenged my rule, you now have to leave. What do you think?
It's a possibility.
Yeah, not sold?
Yeah.
It's okay. I just had that idea.
Yeah.
Just randomly had that idea.
No, it's cool. I'd kind of like it if this fight happens and Eric Killmonger ends up winning. And then we have to go from that point. But there's so much speculation. It's going to be such a good movie.
Yeah. All right.
It's going to be so good.
Show us another picture. Let's go through this real quick. Okay. Everett Ross. Yeah, we can talk about Everett Ross. Everett Ross, Martin Freeman describes him as completely, totally competent. And he earns T'Challa's trust as they work together pursuing the mercenary Ulysses Klaue, who has stolen some of Wakanda's most closely held secrets. So ooh. I think we all have there's a lot of the stuff that we've already kind of hinted at on our show that we kind of already know from the comics, but just hearing them confirm this on a source like Entertainment Weekly is just like, all right, like it's making the whole movie really start to take shape even before we've seen like a full trailer for it and everything else.
Right.
But yeah, in the comics, he's kind of a bit of a goofball. But here, it seems like he's not that at all.
Yeah, I think he'd have some zingy liners,
Just of course, like, it's Martin Freeman. Of course there will be, yeah.
Zingy liners, but that's fine. I like him competent.
Yeah, and there we see Ulysses Klaue, played by Andy Serkis. And again, for those of you listening to us on iTunes, these are all on the Entertainment Weekly website. And I'm sure that we have, links on our Twitter page for you to go find pretty easily.
We have a great picture of Nakia and Shuri, like, power walking through a door with intent. Oh,
so awesome.
Yeah.
So Nakia is the one in the front there with the red. She is one of the Dora Milaje is from, I believe she's from, like, a border tribe as well, if I remember some of the other stuff I've read.
Yeah, and a Koi. Like, from way back.
And that's Danae Gurira, who's playing Okoye.
You are she's a
is it Okoye
leader.
Or Okoye?
I think Okoye. Okoye? Okay. I mean, we'll know as soon as the movie comes out.
So here's one of the things that they said in Entertainment Weekly is that there's romance between Nakia and T'Challa. A little bit of a romance, a little bit of a sort of like playful romance.
Yeah. Well, in the comics, she has a real thing for him, but it's not reciprocated.
Yeah. But her globetrotting job often pulls her away, Lupita Nyong'o says of her character. In her journey in this film, she has to really choose between her passion for her calling and her passion for her king. And then Shuri there stays close to the kingdom, developing high-tech weapons to keep it safe. How cool is that? Oh, my God.
She's a gadget master, a warrior gadget master.
I want to
on board.
I want to see her in Infinity War showing Tony Stark how to do it right.
Or be like, you know, I can fix that for you. I can make that better.
And then like tinkering with it.
I never thought it could do that.
Yeah, like here, let me put some vibranium in that and it'll do A, B, and C, and then have him just like lose his mind. Like, I cannot wait for Wakanda and Black Panther to show up in everything. Mm-hmm. Here we see some more of the Dora Milaje. And this one, God, I'm they are described in Entertainment Weekly, and again, we've already gone over this on our show, but just to give you what Entertainment Weekly says, Special Forces and Secret Service, they're led by Okoye, who's Danae Gurira, she's on the left. On the right is Ayo, I think it's Ayo, right? Ayo, played by Florence Kasumba. She is the king's personal guard. We saw her in Captain America Civil War, where she is
said
it Black
to
Widow?
Black Widow. She's goes, like, move or be moved.
Yeah. And T'Challa's like, as much as I would like to see that, you know, God.
As interesting as that would be.
Yeah, as interesting as that would be. And then Nakia's between the two of them, played by Lupita Nyong'o. They say of her, she serves as an undercover operative traveling the world to protect Wakanda's interests and hunt its enemies.
Yes.
That's my favorite. Like, protect its interests, sure, but she's a worldwide hunter. She's like, what did you do? I'm coming for you.
Yep.
I love it. It's so cool.
That's fantastic. I want to see sequences where she has to hunt somebody down and take them out.
So effing cool. I can say effing, right?
Yes.
Effing, I can say. It's been a couple weeks, everybody. Give me.
What do you think about all this, Jonathan?
I'm excited for the movie. I really know nothing about Black Panther, but from the movie alone, I'm blown away.
Like, yeah, just, you've come to the right place to learn.
Well, I think that's what they did best was they had a character that we knew, like, tangentially Marvel fans knew a little more, but the average everyday fan didn't know that well, and then they presented him so well in the opening that, like, people are now invested. Like, the Civil War was a perfect trailer for Black Panther because the character was instantly, like, so interesting.
Yeah, of all the characters that were in that movie, there was like, oh, here's T'Challa. And I'm like, I need to know more about this character. Like,
yeah.
I don't, and I need.
Well, yeah, he has such a presence, right?
Yeah.
It was just, like, epic. Just everything that he said.
Speaking of T'Challa, great segue. Have you done this before? You're very good at this.
Yeah.
So we've got this picture up on screen that shows T'Challa. This is a picture that happens soon after he himself protects the country from some people who are trying to break in and steal some of their secrets. Like, he goes out and he's like, no, you guys aren't poaching any of this. Like, get out. Ryan Coogler says of T'Challa that what makes him different from other superheroes, first and foremost, is that he doesn't see himself as a superhero. He sees himself as a politician. That's the first thing on his mind when he wakes up in the morning. Quote, how am I going to fulfill my duties as king of this place? Like him fulfilling his duties as king to his people is why he's Black Panther. Like,
yeah,
that's so cool. Like, everything I say from this thing is so cool. Like, I love, like, the world that they've built, Wakanda, everything. It's just, I can't handle it, man. It's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a heck of a thing.
It's going to be, you know what? Here, I'm going to give you the notes because I know you want to talk about this even, like, you can talk about this a lot more than I can. So here.
Which part?
Oh, you've got the notes there.
Yeah.
just take it and run. I want to hear all of your opinion. I'm talking way too much for you to be the giant fan. I need to stop.
We've just about covered everything. I mean, right here, the photo that we have up right now is part of the casino scene, which I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it incorporates a lot of the elements that we've been talking about with this, where how T'Challa is more of a diplomatic superhero as opposed to a, you know, Rock'em Sock'em robot kind of a deal. And here you've got him looking very suave. I mean, they're obviously in a kind of perhaps an undercover type of situation. Very well dressed. Everything's cool in the casino. And they're probably going after Claw in some way because we know that they're in a different picture. We have Claw and Everett Ross in the same background.
I've got a quote here from Kevin Feige basically saying everything that you just said.
Oh, okay.
He says, that's a very super high super luxe, high-end underground casino in South Korea where there is a great scene where Lupita, Danae, and Chad will walk in dressed to the nines. Claw is there, and it's a big action scene. It's important that this all feels big, glossy, and entertaining at the same time. My guess is that this is where the giant car chase comes in also, is Claw gets away.
Which makes you wonder, is he wearing the vibranium suit underneath this epic looking? So it's just like, is that going to be tearaway? You know, just wondering. Just wondering off the top of my head. How's he going to do that?
Is it because wondering or hoping?
That is just, I'm hoping it's tearaway.
I'm also hoping that it's tearaway.
It's just tearaway.
All right, give us a couple more pictures there. Let's go through this. Oh, Zuri. Okay, I'm very excited for who Zuri is. The quote that we have here is from Ryan Coogler saying he's somewhat of a religious figure or spiritual figure, Forrest's character, Forrest Whitaker, more than anything as a major tie back to T'Challa's father. Zuri is someone T'Challa looks to for guidance. He's also somewhat of a religious figure or spiritual figure and is referred to a couple times as the Obi-Wan Kenobi of this particular world. As a shaman and trusted advisor to the king. So.
Which sounds like he's both epically important and also expendable.
That is well said.
When you think about it. Because
I don't want to see him get killed, but it does sound like he kind of has to happen.
We are known for killing mentors.
Yeah, that's true. We kill mentors a lot in the Marvel Universe so that the heroes can go and become themselves.
Yeah.
Without them. So we got another picture here of T'Challa. Just keep rolling through these, Ant-Manthony. I'll tell you when to stop. We've got a great picture of Eric Killmonger and his... God, look at his arms. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my... that's not right. He's a warrior. That is not right.
I love that the trainer that trained him also trained Angela Bassett. And of course, Angela Bassett is Ramonda.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's kind of like the advisor to the throne in between when, you know, the next person has to take the mantle for Black Panther, so...
So here's Wakabi. This is the dude we were talking about earlier, who in the comics from the 60s and 70s went
by... Do you mean
by...
M'Baku?
Oh my god, I said...
Yeah,
what did
M'Baku,
I say?
Wakabi.
Thank
Wakabi
you. Wakabi
is Daniel Kaluuya's character.
M'Baku, thank you for correcting me. M'Baku also goes by Manape. They, not
in
this
comics,
movie, in the comics.
In this.
Thank god, not in this. But they worship like a white... an outlawed white gorilla deity, right? Like, but it's outlawed all across Wakanda.
Because white gorillas were endangered.
Yeah.
And to be able to, instead of like the herb-shaped root, the heart-shaped root that you would get for, heart-shaped herb that you would get for, you know, with doing Bass, the Black Panther god, they would have to, you know, eat the meat of white gorillas.
Ooh,
but
white
they're,
gorilla.
That's like eating condors. And it's like, you know what? Your religion's not going to work.
Your religion is killing endangered species.
Yeah.
Kind of stop, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
M'Baku belongs to a mountain tribe where it's kind of like it's the icier regions of Wakanda. We've got some quotes there about that.
But a powerful people.
But very powerful. And M'Baku has challenged T'Challa for the throne more than a few times as well. as well as in Jadaka. Here we see Lupita Nyong'o as
Nakia.
I've got nothing else. We've already said everything about her. Yeah. Okay. I do have this that I want to throw in. So Danae Gurira is playing Okoye, who's the leader of the Dora Milaje.
Yeah.
And Kevin Feige says of her, Danae Gurira is going to steal every scene that she's in and is the head of the Dora Milaje, the all-female secret service to T'Challa. Guerrera says of her character, she's a lover and protector of her people and of the throne. To protect a throne, you are protecting the core institution of the nation, which allows it to thrive. I cannot wait to see her steal every scene.
Yeah.
Like, no, I love her in Walking Dead. Like, yeah, I can't wait to see her break out of that role.
She's Michonne in Walking Dead, and she's able to balance badassery with vulnerability, completely. You like, want to be the other half of her OTP, no matter what world she's in. So this is, yeah, I could definitely see her stealing every scene.
Yeah. All right, let's keep rolling through these pictures. Okay, here we go. Ramonda, Angela Bassett. I have a quote here from producer Nate Moore.
The storm that could have been.
Oh, God. I mean, she looks great.
They missed the boat on that big time. They
really did. Here's the quote from Nate Moore saying, her goal in the film is to help T'Challa become king of Wakanda in a peaceful transition of power, serving as a de facto advisor to the throne. However, as things get more complicated for our hero, she sets aside any political functions and instead operates as a mother whose sole concern is the physical well-being of both her children, her other child being Shuri. Good. I'm so excited for this. All right, I think we've got a couple more pictures to roll through here. We've seen Zuri. We've talked about him, but that's a great picture. We've got Shuri, who crafts weapons like the vibranium-enhanced panther gauntlets on her hand. Feige says of her, she's also a genius and runs the entire Wakandan design group. She's responsible for amazing technological advances that vibranium has brought about from Wakanda. Let's end here on these pictures with Wakabi. He's this head of security for the border tribe. Essentially, like, he's in charge of the border. He's border control. They live on the borders of Wakanda and serve as the first line of defense for the country. This is from Nate Moore. As T'Challa ascends to the throne, he asks Wakabi to serve as an advisor, trusting his friends' knowledge and instincts. So that is basically every single last quote we have for all of the pictures. Let's get into this real quick. Black Panther. Winter Soldier. Sorry, I'm getting my notes back together. Winter Soldier. Last time we saw him was at the end of Captain America: Civil War, where he was put into cryogenic deep freeze.
Yes.
In Wakanda.
Sebastian Shaw.
He will apparently not be in Black Panther. So.
He's sleeping. Sebastian Stan is sleeping.
Yeah, he's still sleeping.
We don't need for him to be. like I was saying, like a post, you know, credit scene could have him, you know, just like, yep, he's still there. Okay.
we have a quote here from, I believe, D23, where he was asked, is he in the movie? And he said, no, I'm not. I'm not in Black Panther, but that plot line gets resolved in Infinity War. I mean, course it is.
I mean, it kind of has to.
Yeah, better be. Whatever happened to that guy?
We're like, oh, well.
Just three Captain America movies revolving around him. We'll get back to him. We'll cycle back in.
We've already kind of covered all the other bits of news that I have for Black Panther. So let's, do you have anything else that you want to add?
I'm excited.
You're the Black Panther girl. You're the fan.
Super, super excited. And I wonder if they're going to release anything during Comic-Con, because they released all this other stuff.
They definitely will.
Yeah, I'll freak out.
Did you see that outfit at D23? They had the full Black Panther outfit?
Yes. A fan tweeted, like, was there and was taking pictures and tweeted, and thank you, shout out to that guy.
I'm sure we've got it. All right. Well, let's jump over to Deadpool. Sorry that we had to start with Black Panther, buddy.
There's a lot to cover. I get it.
I'm sorry. I know you're hurting over there, but that was a lot of really awesome stuff.
That's fine.
Like, that by the way, was the story we were going to end on until all the Infinity War stuff came out and just, like, killed D23. So at D23, Josh Brolin was there. Yeah, we're talking about Deadpool now, buddy. You can show off your exclusive Chris Ecto and metal miniature. What's the factory?
Factory Entertainment.
Factory Entertainment. Yeah. Keep showing those off, buddy.
Josh Brolin. Follow them at Factory ENT.
So first of all, we want to point out he has a chunk of his eyebrow missing. As Cable most likely would have, because he's got a giant scar at that exact place in his comic book rendition of the character. But he also teases the breaking of the fourth wall in Deadpool 2, speaking of Good Morning America at D23 about the role. He says, it's not that I don't break the fourth wall. There's a lot of stuff going on in Deadpool that's very surprising, and that will be very satisfying when you see it. And then he also went on to say, it's even funnier than the first film. When they asked me to do it, I was like, I'm doing the Thanos thing right now. Should I do it? My wife just said, read it. Why are you even thinking? Just read it. And I read it, and I laughed harder than I've laughed in a very long time, so it's funny. Finishes off saying Cable can be very funny, he can be a lot of things, but he can also be very funny. So,
and he looked like a beast when he came out of Thanos.
Oh,
man.
Dude,
like dude. He is ready to be Cable. It's the most visually I've bought it, and I'm really excited. I mean, I really wanted Michael Shannon, but I've loved Josh Brolin forever. Yeah. I think he's gonna kill it. He's got like the military thing down, and he's so stoic when he needs to be, and he's also got like crazy comedic timing. Yeah. So that's what we need for Cable opposite Deadpool. Everything I've seen, like that picture that came out today of him and Deadpool and Blindell on Instagram, mm-hmm. like it's just I forgot how excited I could be for these movies when they're filming. Even just like a still is it's Cable.
So amazing. I love it. So let's move on. Anything else you want to say? Because I mean, like, it's gonna be funny. We all kind of assumed it was gonna be funny. Like yeah. That's not a surprise.
I mean,
like,
it's a Deadpool movie, right? Deadpool.
I hope we get a teaser. I hope we get a because Fox Ooh. Has a big panel this year at Comic-Con.
Do they? I haven't paid attention.
Yeah, Fox has a panel. So I'm hoping. I mean, I don't think we'll get anything crazy, but they already filmed something for the last. I mean, we've already seen Deadpool stuff. So I'd love to see a little Cable.
Yeah, all right. When is that panel? Do you know? Probably on Saturday. All
Probably
the panels
Saturday.
Are on
Everything's,
Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday's Everything's insane. Saturday.
Yeah, Warner Brothers is in the morning. Marvel ends it at night around like 5, I think. Yeah,
so maybe in the middle or Friday.
Hopefully I'll
Either
be able
way,
to get
we'll
in.
Recover in August.
Yeah. So The Gifted TV show hits relatively soon, I think. September? Do I remember correctly? September, I think?
Yes.
That sounds right.
Sounds about right, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably have a panel. They'll probably show clips from the show. So next week is going to be a massive show for us. Like next week is just going to be like, where do we even start?
Right.
So
you're going to be with us for 2 hours, right, y'all?
Yeah. Just be prepared to tune in next week and just buckle up with a bag of Cheetos and some Mountain Dew because there's going to be a lot to talk about next week.
And then go to the gym after to work that off. That's a
awful. That's a lot. What have you done? That's a lot. Don't actually take my advice. Eat a bag of carrots. So X-Men Gifted released a bunch of like little 7-second character teasers this week for their upcoming series, The Gifted. I just kind of wanted to go through them real quick. We're not going to watch them. This first one is Stephen Moyer. He's playing Reed Strucker, the father from the TV show. And what he says in his, "Did you hear about the mutant incident? Those are my kids. There is nothing more important to me than my family." Then we hear from Amy Acker, who plays his wife, Caitlin Strucker, in her promo. She says, "These are my children. You can't just cart them off." I don't know why I did that voice. That was a terrible voice. And then we have Natalie Allen Lind, who's playing Lauren Strucker, says,
"Of course I didn't tell you. Dad puts people like us in jail."
So who do we think she's talking to? "Of course I didn't tell you." Like mom?
I think she's
probably
talking
to
her brother.
Oh, to her brother.
Yeah, because it says Dad puts people like us in jail.
See, I thought it was probably her talking to her mom. Like her mom figures it out. And she's like, you know what Dad does?
I think she's solely talking to her brother.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And right now the going theory is that her character, Lauren Strucker, has kind of like telekinetic control over air and water, maybe? Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what they're thinking. As for Percy Hines White, who plays Andy Strucker, little baby boy, cute little baby boy, says, "It started happening. I couldn't stop it. I was just so angry." The going theory with here is that he's a bit like Magneto, kind of has like telekinetic control over metal, essentially, metallic objects.
Hmm.
So
unfortunate there's no characters like these they could use from the comics.
I know. I'm not.
It's unfortunate.
Again, I'm going with my theory that they felt like it was best to show the X-Men universe through characters that we're not familiar with.
It's a going theory.
I like your other theory that you had where it's like it would have been better if they'd done it through Jubilee's family.
Yeah, that would have been awesome too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
But, you know,
this is what we're getting.
Yeah, there's a lot about it that I'm excited about.
Yeah, so.
Like having Blink.
Blink?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so cool. That's such a good character. Did you pull that image, Ollie? That looks great.
Yeah, that was like the last part.
That's a good pull, sir. Good pull. She says, "I know no mutant has ever escaped before. What can I say? I'm different." Blink, by the way, is she's basically the character from Portal. Like, she can create, like, portals, jump through them, arrive in other places. Yeah. But she can do some really fun, unique things with her.
The cake is a lie.
Yeah, the cake is a lie. and we saw a bit of Blink in X-Men Days of Future Past. So if you saw that movie, then you kind of know who Blink is and what she can do.
Yeah.
And her limitations, exactly. Mm. We've got Shantel playing a character named Eclipse, who's not from the comics, and I don't understand why they have him, but whatever.
When someone takes what you love most, it will change you.
So he loses someone. Here's my guess. He's in love with Polaris because they capture Polaris pretty early on.
Yeah.
But speaking of another character who's from the comics, Thunderbird, portrayed by Blair Redford, found you. Trust me. I can find anyone.
That sounds like something Thunderbird would say.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. It's great. That's the kind of stuff we get excited for. That and Blink. All day.
We'll watch those two scenes.
Strucker stuff. All right. They're the characters, I guess. There are window to this world, sure. So Thunderbird is a Native American who, his powers are that he has super strength, super speed, endurance, and he's like one of the world, he's like Wolverine level tracker.
Yeah.
Like, because he's got heightened senses. So he's essentially a pretty basic kind of power set.
Which works for TV.
But yeah, and that works really well. So
yeah, it should film well.
Then we've got Polaris. That's a good image, too. Ollie, you're on fire, man. Well done, sir.
It's my aesthetic.
So. Yeah, it's really good. Polaris is played by Emma Dumont, and she says, do you want to read this one also? You're doing very well, Markia.
What?
The Polaris, when they look at me?
When they look at me, they see a troubled young woman. I'll show them trouble.
Ooh, good change. Good change in tone.
Yeah,
So Polaris is, she actually is Magneto. Like, she's got the power of magnetism and can kind of control metallic objects and such. And from the trailers we see, it looks like she's probably the inciting incident for all of the events. I think she gets taken by the main character, Reed Strucker, and his sentinel guys, led by Agent Turner, who's this next guy, played by Kobe Bell, actor Kobe Bell. I think her being taken is what sets off Eclipse, and they go to save her, and then they end up having to get Reed Strucker and his whole family behind it because they find out they're mutants. I think that's probably the pilot, essentially. Yeah. Kobe Bell, Agent Turner, says, this is the Sentinel Services. If you try to flee or resist, we will use deadly force. there's that stuff. Yay!
Yeah.
Gifted.
So it just seems like that time-honored plot is of, it's not something that affects me. Oh, wait, it does affect me? We need to change things.
Yeah. Oh, it does affect me? Never mind.
Yeah.
So Serena Swan reveals how she brings Medusa's powers to life. For Inhumans, we're talking to Inhumans, everybody. So if you don't want to hear us talk, try to sound positive about something. Ignore the next 2 minutes. Did I just tell people to ignore a show?
Yes, you did.
Because they're certainly an ignoring humans.
I wanted humans to be good so bad! I actually did a rant about this on Screen Junkies a couple weeks ago, and I completely forgot about it.
You know,
before we
talk negative, what did you think of Spider-Man Homecoming? Because you weren't here
to talk about it. I wasn't here.
Let's have a brief moment of happiness between Gifted and Inhumans.
You know what's funny is that I put Inhumans next to Gifted because I was like, you know what? Get it just, out of the way. But then I followed it with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage because I was like, but here's positive.
That's fair. That's smart.
Dude, I love Spider-Man. Like, I thought it was perfectly in tone with the comic. Like, it was like those early Ditko Lee comics where he's like, he's in high school, he's struggling. Like, his poor Aunt May is just like struggling to survive. He's got to find money. Then you've got the Vulture. Vulture, you've got all those early villains. It was just so fun. Later on, you get villains like the Punisher, and he's violent. You get Green Goblin, who becomes a little bit more violent, like, as time goes on. You get Venom, who's incredibly violent. Yeah.
Eventually Carnage.
Yeah, and then eventually Carnage. And, like, those are all great, and there's a place for them, and I can't wait to see them either. But to see, like, sort of a relatively, like, Vulture was menacing and mean, but he was doing it for his family. Yeah. He was a dad, and there was something.
He was a dad.
He's a dad. He was a dad. I loved that. Like, they really used the tone of those early villains really well to help set the tone of the film, and I loved it. So,
and you were right about MJ. Zendaya being MJ. You called it.
I called it. She's gonna go on to do like a she's all that, and they're gonna straighten the hair and take the glasses off. Oh, I'm a model now. It's gonna be like, yeah, Zendaya, you are. Yeah, good work.
Take out the ponytail.
Yeah, she's still gonna be a badass and be mean to Peter. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So essentially, Inhumans. Serinda Swan said when she would do the CGI effects for her hair, she would just pretend that she was using her hands. That's the quote.
Yeah. But that does mean that there will be CGI hair. So there is that. She goes on to say that it's one of those things where it's not done so much in public, but more of a private thing between her and Black Bolt, which is a very interesting take to do with this particular property and that particular mm-hmm. character. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. hey, who knows? There's going to be CGI hair, so positive.
I guess like when she's with Black Bolt and she uses her hair to get his coffee, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yes. Because getting coffee.
The humans?
I want to tell you to get out, but you can stay for that.
Okay, good. Because it's just, it's one letter. Because, it's how it because feels, I've got, and here we are.
Because this next one just, it disappoints me so much.
Oh, yeah, she looks just Marvel like the character if the character Marvel was a boring person.
Marvel has released a new, so this is a character, so here's an act. Okay, I'm so flustered by this. Sonia Balmores is the actress, and she's playing an inhuman named Oron. Oron essentially has giant deer ears. Like, she has giant ears that look kind of like her hair, and they kind of hang down to her neck. When I first saw the picture, I was like, they actually did it! That's just her hair shaped like her ears. Now, so here's my hope. She hasn't gone through Terrigenesis yet, and this is like they're They're holding off to do that, because if that's not what they're doing.
I like that her coat's close. Look at that coat they got on with the coat.
Guys, if they're not.
This looks so standard 90s sci-fi to me. I know. With like the background and the pose.
Guys, they had Vulcan ears in the 60s. They have prosthetics. How do you not give her ears? It's a simple effect.
Well, it's not like her power is to hear everything or anything.
No, I know. Okay, so Oron is a cool character. You can tell her any word in the world. I want to hear anybody who says the word koi right now for the next hour. And she'll be like, oh, someone in Gibraltar said koi. Cool. Let's go there. Lockjaw, take us there now. Boom. Who said koi? I'll take you right to him. That guy said koi. Let's talk to that guy. What does he know about koi? That's her power.
And my Google search history.
Yeah. You just look up your name, koi, all the time. But how do you not do ears?
It's like...
You did Triton. You've got Triton. You've got a CGI bulldog.
There was that movie where these guys guarded the galaxy and they had a little raccoon. Didn't do well. So they thought, maybe we should back off. Go real tame.
Yeah, there was this other movie where it's like this surgeon became a mystical sorcerer. Yeah, and they're we need to calm this down.
We need to ground it.
You know,
TV audience
show
doesn't
back
understand
in the 70s
it.
Where this guy got mad, he turned green, got big.
Oh, wow. Well. Yeah, they're too much. We can't revisit this character. We just gotta tone this down.
All right, so I'm holding out hope that this is pre-Terrigenesis. She goes through Terrigenesis, comes out with longer ears, and they just don't want to show us that yet, which makes no sense why they wouldn't want to show us that yet, but maybe they're holding on to that. And that's...
Maybe they're playing everything close to the vest. Maybe everything's close to the vest, and we actually see the show, and then it's like, Inhumans! As opposed to, I love Chorus, Inhumans!
This is the anti-trailer. This is like, don't see the show.
Don't see the show. I've never, ever wanted to be wrong more than I want to be wrong with my thoughts on this. I don't think that I am, by the way.
But, I would love to be wrong.
God, I want to come in the week after it premieres in September and go, guys, I stand corrected. This is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And they captured the Inhumans brilliantly.
But we'll see.
Speaking of amazing things, Jessica Jones has cast Leah Gibson for their second season. She's playing a character named Ingrid, who is described by Deadline and Variety as streetwise, but also has an education as a nurse. Variety pointed out that after the description of the character was originally leaked in April, fans began speculating Ingrid was a code name for Typhoid Mary. Can we go back to this picture of Leah Gibson?
Yeah.
Typhoid Mary, right? Like, she's Typhoid Mary. She could totally be a Typhoid Mary.
On the red carpet. That's just Typhoid Mary walking around in life.
Ah, so good. All right. So, Typhoid Mary, by the way, is a Mary Alice Walker. She has a dissociative personality disorder. Her first personality, Mary, is this meek, timid, sort of just pacifist. Then there's Typhoid is an adventurous, lustful, and violent character. And then Bloody Mary is her persona is a brutal, sadistic, and hates all men. is if, like, just that personality disorder wasn't enough, she also is pyrokinetic and limited telekinesis.
She's also extremely important in the Deadpool comics, which I think they're adapting into the movie, which is interesting.
Wait, really?
So, basically, the Black Tom Cassidy storyline that they first introduced, that Typhoid Mary's integral. So everything they seem to be doing at Deadpool 2 has Typhoid Mary in it. So it's really interesting how they're going to work with, like, Siren, Typhoid Mary, and Black Tom Cassidy are, like, the three that rotate in that storyline. So to me, it's intriguing that they're using her for Jessica Jones, because I always saw her as a Deadpool villain.
Well, we don't... She might just be a nurse named Ingrid.
She might be, but I want to be Typhoid Mary.
Like, I really wanted her to be Typhoid Mary.
I think it's cool that we've led to this point in geek culture that there's a character that as obscure as Typhoid Mary that's like, she'd work in these two giant properties that are coming out this
Amazing.
Year. Like,
yes. So we've got a couple of videos that were shot of Luke Cage walking down a street
strutting.
In Crown Heights neighborhood. Just
strutting down the
just
street.
Just Mike Coultering it up, man. Like, he is...
he's Mike Coultering that Mike Coulter, I'm telling you.
He is just... God, he's a nice, nice man. I like, it was so fun when at Wizard World last year when I got to talk to him.
Yeah, a friend of mine ran into him in a grocery store and she exploded.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's like, no longer living.
Yeah, I was about to say, your friend is dead now, right?
Yeah,
God, look at him is. Just, like, strutting, and he's got the yellow hoodie. Oh, so cool. There's no news there. It just looks awesome. Yeah. So let's move on, because we have a lot to talk about.
It's just a suave strut.
God, I could watch Mike Coulter just walk as Luke Cage for a full hour. Just like, sweet Christmas. Like, yeah, Luke Cage, you said it! I don't even know what's going on in this episode. Just walk and ride your Harley. Details on Sigourney Weaver's villain role, Alexandra. She's the villain in upcoming Defenders, which comes out, by the way, in a month.
Yeah. August is soon, guys.
In a month!
After Comic-Con, we won't have been not hungover yet by the time this starts.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. she spoke with she and Marco Ramirez, one of the showrunners, spoke to EW saying she comes up a lot of different people, armies, mercenaries, devoted religious fanatics, and all kinds of different groups who have tried to take her down, but she's never met four people who are seemingly just interested in taking care of this one little part of New York. I think she's actually really charmed by it, and weirdly, because they're unlike anybody she's ever faced off against before, it's intimidating to her. Then he goes on to say she's about self-preservation at all costs, has a long game in mind, and she isn't thinking about this chess game. She's thinking six chess games in the future.
She is.
Yeah,
she's seen a lot of beauty.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Here's one of my favorite parts. She's seen a lot of beauty in humanity and in the world, but there are certain things that to her are expendable, and that's a really dangerous worldview. So she's like, this is a beautiful world, but I can do away with this entire thing.
Nice.
So
that makes a proper villain.
Yeah, right. So I'm excited about that. Nothing to add to that, because we don't know who she is yet, and they're doing a damn good job of hiding her. Do we have anything in the live chat or anybody asking questions or any good comments?
People upset at us for being upset at Inhumans. People upset at us for not loving Gifted, and people liking only when we're positive and not being realistic. That things look bad, guys. Sometimes things look bad.
But they were really happy that good Koi, you know, told you to ask about Spider-Man Homecoming. So.
Positivity.
So, yeah. So
catch
we.
The positivity.
I think that if everything is sweet, nothing is sour. If everything is sour, nothing is sweet. If we love everything,
Sour Patch Kids.
Our love doesn't
Press
work
candy.
If we love everything.
Yeah, and then honestly, we can't give you fake enthusiasm. We're really going to be honest about the things that we really are, you know, realistically on, you know, enthused about.
I am excited for Gifted.
Gifted, I think,
like,
is cool.
Gifted, I'm excited. Holding back a little bit, like, on my enthusiasm
I'm
excited for it.
I think it's
going
to be very solid. I think it's going to have some longevity, like Heroes kind of longevity. I think it's going to be something that's going to be around for a while.
As a smart writer, I know a couple of the guys writing for the show, I think they're all smart writers. Like, I'm, you know, I wish that they made different choices, but I'm excited for the show. Literally, Inhumans is the only property out there right now that I'm just like, but that's also because I love it so much.
If Siskel or Niebuhr gave everything two thumbs up, you wouldn't listen to their thumbs anymore.
Yeah,
you just assume
Silver and Black possible villains have been revealed. Mendel, so this comes from That Hashtag Show. Hey guys, at The Hashtag Show, we like you guys. Mendel Strom. Now, I know, Mendel Strom, everyone's going, who's Mendel Strom? Mendel Strom was Norman Osborn's business partner and science partner. He was also the professor of Norman Osborn.
Very important.
I can't remember the exact issue, but it was Green Goblin's origin stories when you first meet Mendel Strom. And he's the guy who created or helped create the
Spider Slayers.
That's Alistair Smythe. Yeah.
Yeah.
He created the Goblin Serum.
That's right.
Norman Osborn stole it.
Yes.
And then he, like, Osborn went on to make the cybernetics and the glider and everything else, but Strom is the one who made Smythe.
He's such a fun villain, too.
He's like a Thomas Edison.
Yeah, exactly. Osborn is Thomas Edison. Oh, my God. You just broke me. So he's reportedly, like, one of the big main villains in Silver Sable and Black Cat movie.
That's cool. I like that, because it ties into Spider-Man lore without being too direct. Mm-hmm. Like, it totally works.
So Tarantula is also rumored to be, like, one of the henchmen for Mindelstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Who also goes on to have, like, cybernetic implants and control robots and all this other stuff. Chameleon also might be in the movie as someone working for Mindelstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tombstone may also be in the movie. But here's the part that could be the fly in the ointment for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
All right, what do we got?
All right.
Scorpion.
Right.
Rumored to be
That's what I was saying. He's going to be the Nick Fury of Spider-Man. He's going to be the guy that ties it all together.
Scorpion?
He's going to be the villain? The villain Nick Fury?
He's going to show up in Black Cat, Silver Sable. Then I think he's going to show up in another Marvel property. Then Sinister Six is going to bring him back. I think Matt Gargan is going to be the tie that binds.
Interesting.
Because they cast such a good actor. And they cast such a unique character to be the guy that shows up in a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Scorpion's the guy.
I would be okay with that. Because that actor is a powerhouse, and he really did do a great job as Spider-Man Homecoming.
He was great as Mac Gargan.
I want to see him build up and build up into, like, more of a force. And then imagine if he's in Venom, too, because at one point Mac Gargan was Venom.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy would it be if Mac Gargan is the guy that ties Spider-Man together? I'm just saying, that's my theory.
All right, well.
It's a weird one.
I like it.
We gotta move on. Not that I want to, because the Sony Marvel cinematic thing is still very confusing to me.
As long as Tombstone whispers, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Tombstone, like, just an angry whispering. Like,
and part of the report from that hashtag show was that Tombstone would have, like, the zombie white skin and the sharpened teeth.
Because if you don't use Kingpin because he's on Daredevil, you use Tombstone. Mm-hmm. Like,
It's actually great.
So all these casting things, I'm scared of the number of things, but I'm excited.
Walton Goggins has been added to the cast of Ant-Man and the Wasp. This came out just today from Deadline and I believe maybe Variety. There's literally no information on the character except that he's in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah, okay. We've got nothing. But here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I really want to happen. One of two things. Either I want Ant-Man to start Ant-Man Security Solutions like he did in Nick Spencer's current run.
Yep.
Starting in 2015. That is where Ant-Man moves to Florida to take care of his daughter Cassie and starts his own security company down there. One of the first criminals he busts is a dude named Grizzly.
Mm-hmm. If he's
who's in a cybernetic grizzly bear costume that he can never get out of. He's, like, stuck in it, similar to Rhino. And he becomes, like, Ant-Man's number one henchman. Can you imagine this guy is Grizzly?
Dude, that'd be
in a giant
so
bear
funny.
Costume?
That'd be so,
nuts.
So
and
funny.
It's, but, you know, it'd be Florida, so that happens.
And
wacky Florida.
That's how he turns into Carnage. He goes insane. He's trapped in that grizzly
costume. Actually would be a good
person. He's one of my four. I think he'd be a great guy.
So also as part of Ant-Man Solutions, Security Solutions, we've got Whirlwind, Beetle, Magician, The Voice, and Hijacker. I'm not as 100% familiar with some of those guys because I'm a couple issues behind on the books, but I think he would also be really cool as Whirlwind.
Ooh, that's fun.
Right?
Yeah, like, I like that.
Kind of, he's a bad guy, and Ant-Man stops him, and then the two of them kind of end up working together. But I would prefer to see him as Grizzly.
Yeah.
Or as one of the members of the Agents of Atlas, along with Agent Jimmy Woo, who's being played by Randall Park. That was just announced last week.
Yeah, Randall Park. We talked about him.
I would love to see a full-on Agents of Atlas.
And Randall Park's real funny.
Yeah, so him as Gorilla Man or M11, the robot, would be fun. So, anyway.
Well, fun thing with the Ant-Man universe is that you could totally have a guy, Grizzly, walking around.
Mm-hmm.
You could totally, because they've already set that up.
Yeah, it's a weird universe.
It's
weird and wacky and great. Yeah. All right, we've got to start winding this down. We have so much more to talk about. Mark Ruffalo teases an angrier Hulk. He's even more angry than he was the last time we saw him for a much longer period of time. Then he joked about getting to smash Chris Hemsworth, saying it's fun smashing him. He's just a puny god. That was with Good Morning America. But here's the bigger thing. He went on to say that between Thor Ragnarok, Infinity War, and the Untitled sequel to the fourth Avengers, right. Hulk has a giant storyline mm-hmm. that's going on. And I think what he's hinting at as in Thor Ragnarok, it starts off where he's actually learning to be both Banner and Hulk. I think he's becoming Smart Hulk. We already know he's getting Smart Hulk.
No, we've got that at the end of Avengers?
Age of Ultron when he flies off, yeah.
No, I meant like we got that like at the very beginning when it's like, remember like Avengers mm-hmm. and he controls it.
Oh yeah, I think we're talking about talking, like speaking as Banner, like full Smart
I'm talking
Banner.
Like,
oh, okay. Like, oh, okay, I'm talking got
like,
you. Got
like
you.
Basically like Banner disappears into and becomes the brain of the Hulk.
Right.
So Hulk is still like, I am Hulk, but I am Hulk. Hello, my name is Bruce Banner. And like that's what I think we're going to get. Because we've had a few times where like Smart Hulk has appeared in the comics and never reverted back to Bruce Banner.
Which also ties into his other comment about there never being a solo Hulk movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think this arc is his solo Hulk movie. Yep, I think these three movies is the three-act structure of a solo
totally
Hulk
agree.
Movie.
All right, finally, we've made it to Infinity War.
Everyone dies.
Everyone dies.
Everyone does.
Well,
everyone.
There was actually a quote from Rebel. Everyone dies. Everyone dies. I was like, I don't know
and
that we can include
like,
that.
Bah!
I've had so much fun talking with people about speculation of in the ways mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. our favorite characters are going to die.
Because we know there's going to be some deaths.
Yeah.
There has to be.
My Mark Donica is one of the tech people here, and mm-hmm. we just had a conversation last night, and we were saying like with Thanos, we don't need a fancy new suit or anything with him. Just have him in the chair. And have mm-hmm. everybody, like, you know, doing everything to him. And then he just stands up. And then he just snaps Tony Stark's neck.
Yeah, oh. Snap.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that's where you have Peter Parker, like, over him. Like, because, you know, like, I'm how sorry. War Machine had his, mm-hmm. yeah, was it
C4? Yeah, his, you know, his lower surf.
Then it's just
lumbar,
like,
yeah.
And that's the first thing that Thanos says when he stands up. And it's like, oh, God. Oh, yeah. Everybody's dead.
In Infinity, like, in the Infinity Gauntlet storyline, he was, like, I think he turned... like Thor into Lego bricks, like he was just like poof, your Legos.
Yeah, that Lego run, like that is such a weird, and I loved it because like that Thanos run is the weirdest thing to just look at objectively. Like, all right, that's the move.
Okay,
like, it's like when Green Lantern's like race car, and you're like, okay, race car.
Yeah, sure. Stanley visited the set of the Avengers Infinity War. Robert Downey Jr. put this on his Instagram saying, "I owe it all to you." And it's just a great picture. Like, yeah, Tom Holland and Hulk there. You got Robert Downey and then Stan Lee right in the middle. Like, he created all of that.
At his
hand
ceremony today. And Hollywood Forever.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, like, him losing his wife, Jean, like, that is this.
Yeah.
They were together
for
longer than they weren't. Like,
yeah. Mm. Yeah. They were together than, like, a lot of people, like, longer than a lot of people are alive. Like, they were together a long time.
Yeah, like... Oh my God. And like now that I'm married and everything, like I kind of get like that a whole other side of like loving someone and being in that level of committed relationship. And like when that news came out, I just like Brittany and I both just like were inconsolable for a couple hours. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway, Avengers Infinity War has also officially wrapped production. The Russos tweeted this or Instagrammed this, I believe, saying one down. And this one of the I can't remember which one, but one of them is just like face down on the ground dead. Black Order is confirmed as the Children of Thanos.
Yes,
in some of the most exciting news I've ever had in my entire life. So they had Thanos on stage at D23, but then they had four characters that were hidden. A lot of people were speculating it might be the Fantastic Four because if you think about it, there's the Invisible Woman, Mr. Fantastic could be the skinny dude, the dude over there on the other side is, you know, and then the Thing, Human Torch, yeah. Good work.
Can you imagine walking by a thing shrouded and then finding out later it was the Fantastic Four being announced?
Yeah.
Can you help save me if you're like, oh yeah, I just walked right by
that. Yeah. I've walked by that all day. Mm. Now, those of us who know, like, we would have been at D23 at this
because that's not possible,
not possible.
There's like, well, actually.
Matt King confirms that the Fantastic Four were, in fact, at D23.
Stop it. You can get out now, sir. So let us, I can't say me, that's not fair. Well, I've got hosts. I'm being selfish today. I apologize. I'm getting used to this. Children of Thanos. So in the comics, the Black Order was not initially the Children of Thanos. They were just like the most trusted lieutenants mm-hmm. of his army. But here we're hearing that they're actually children, which means they're probably going to be related to Gamora and Nebula in
which
some
is fantastic,
capacity. Which is amazing.
Because you know that they've had the same childhood that Gamora and Nebula
uh-huh.
have had, where it's like,
uh-huh.
you know, butting heads the entire time. Who's best here? Who had what replaced so that they could be a better fighter?
So awesome.
It sets that backstory in Guardians 2, so you have less backstory you have to build in Infinity War.
Exactly.
It's world building.
It's brilliant. Yeah. So let's go over them really super fast. I don't think we have individual pictures, which is okay. Corvus Glaive is the meanest, like the most trusted of the lieutenants.
Which means he's the worst.
His wife... Proxima Midnight is even worse.
Very evil.
But I think that's why Corvus Glaive is more trusted than her.
because
Corvus
will do anything.
Well, she can do anything, but like she'll kill people just for the fun of it, even if Thanos doesn't want them dead. She'll be like, yeah, but it was more fun to kill them.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, Proxima, I love you, but you can't do that.
Or I'm not having
Please
fun.
Stop.
You're dead.
Yeah, exactly. But Corvus Glaive is like, don't kill them. He's like, but I can tear them apart, right? Yes, you can tear them apart. Just don't kill them. Okay. Like, that's Corvus. So Corvus Glaive is an incredible fighter. He has a scythe with him that as long as he's holding it, at least in the comics, as long as he's holding it, he's immortal. And he never lets it go. And it cuts... It's vibranium.
It's like,
it cuts through everything.
How does this dude go to the bathroom? Don't know. It's just one of those mysteries.
So he's bad. His wife, Proxima, like we were saying, is even worse. And apparently her, some of the stuff that I read about her, her staff is very similar in the movie as it is in the comics. Her staff can absorb all the light from a sun, like a star nearby, and then she can just like unleash holy hell with it. Like
this is going to be very interesting. Like having, because you know, like way back when we had where it was like Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight, looks like that they were going after Vision. So that's going to be a heck of a battle. I hope it only lasts 15 minutes.
Yeah, so do I.
They throw a moon in the teaser.
I'm just saying, I'm excited about the moon throwing, guys.
There's moon throwing.
The teasers are driving me insane at this point. I cannot cope. I can't.
With not seeing it, you mean?
Yeah.
Or just hearing
the
reports?
Like, they're like, teasing this. Everybody's like writing out, hey, we saw this teaser for the teaser. Here's a teaser for the teaser that's happening for Infinity War.
Can we talk about the most important Matt and Coy news about Infinity War?
What was that?
That Doctor Strange and Spider-Man are friends.
They're BFF.
They're bros. Could be good.
They're facial hair bros.
Yeah, they just sit on the opposite sides of... Tom Holland. My brain went like,
no, I'm just kidding.
They just sit around Storm all the time and talk about Marvel movies. Pretty cool.
Before we get into anything else, let me finish up with these guys. Ebony Maw is my favorite of the court of the of Cull Obsidian, the Black Order. He's not super strong. He can be defeated pretty easily. The problem is that he can convince you with no powers at all. He's so smart that he can just say the right words to make you not want to hurt him or do anything else. And he's so good at it, so evil and malevolent, that he's sent to Doctor Strange. To convince Doctor Strange that he should tell him where the Infinity Stones are, which Doctor Strange does, and then he convinces Doctor Strange to summon Shuma-Gorath to just decimate New York, nice. Which he does. And then he tells Doctor Strange to forget everything that he just did. And he's like, but you'll always remember at the back of your mind that you did something awful.
Ooh.
Truly awful. And it'll eat at you for the rest of your life.
That's going to be one of the things we get.
Gorgeous.
I think we're going to get a lot of those little moments, like in the Thor trailer, how we know we get that one moment with Carl Urban. Like, we get the classic, like, you know, moment. I think that's how they're going to treat these four characters.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be that, like, big moment that you have in the comics. Because there's no, like, this movie's got 87 characters in it.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have the highlight reel, because there's no way.
A couple weeks ago, they had some behind-the-scenes stuff of a dude in mocap on top of Doctor Strange, like, kind of yelling at him. And all the news sources were like, oh my god, why is Scott Lang on top of Doctor Strange? Like, because... Scott Lang was also seen on set, so everyone just assumed, well, Scott Lang's a mocap on top of Doctor Strange. Could be, but it didn't look anything like Paul Rudd, and it makes sense for it to be Ebony Maw.
Yep.
Yes.
He would be like hunched over him like, you want to give me that Infinity Stone, don't you? Like, that's the scene.
Like, just open the eye and
just
hand it to me.
Open the eye and hand it to me, please. You want to do this.
And then throw the necklace away, because it means nothing.
It means nothing. It means everything. Throw it to me, Doctor Strange! All right, let's get into the footage that's been revealed.
Oh, the other ones. Supergiant. Do they have...
Supergiant's not up there.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Supergiant gets defeated
pretty early on.
Black Dwarf. Black Dwarf, though. You're right. I forgot about... Black Dwarf, who's also who's now being referred to as Cull Obsidian, because Black Dwarf could be problematic.
All right.
So Jonathan Hickman, by the way, when he created the character, Yeah, but when he created the character, it was more along the lines of he's got the dense gravity and weight of a black dwarf star, which is a star that was alive at one point and has collapsed down into a small little core, but it still has all the same density and weight. So it's an impenetrable force, essentially. So that's why he named it Black Dwarf. Like, Jonathan Hickman, I think, was a NASA engineer. Like, he's an incredibly smart man. So that's where he was coming from.
But Cole Obsidian is pretty cool.
Cole Obsidian.
That's a pretty cool name.
That's a cool name.
Pretty cool name.
All right, so, but he's essentially Space Hulk.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Gets taken out by Black Panther.
Yeah. And one of the reports I read put it really well. He's Thanos's tank. That says a lot. Like, if you have a tank on your RPG crew and you're Thanos,
then whoa.
Then watch out.
Yeah, like, with the impenetrable skin.
Yeah.
Impenetrable.
Yeah, like him, like he can beat Hulk, essentially. Like, Hulk is the strongest one until there's Cole Obsidian. Like, so, all right, there's so much to cover here. I'm just going to do my best to just get through this, and you guys just scream at me when you want me to stop. It starts off with the Guardian. So footage was shown at D23. We were not there to see it. Hopefully, I'll get to see some of it at Marvel, the Marvel panel on Comic-Con this weekend. It starts off with the Guardians on the Milano going through a field. Like debris field, and they're saying, "Be careful, we got to get out of here." And then they hit Thor. Like, Thor, like, smashes up against the windshield. They pull him in. Mantis wakes him up and asks "Who the hell are you?" To be fair, Star-Lord has just seen his fellow Guardian. This might be dangerous, so let's put on our mean faces. Thor then joins forces with the Guardians to guide them back to Earth where things are going down. So, that's where we're at so far, right?
Yeah.
Then we see Scarlet Witch cut a flaming car in half, and Vision might be trapped nearby. Something sad and bad is going down by the looks on their faces. Then we hear Josh Brolin. Someone says death follows him like a shadow as Thanos is teased. Then Tom Hiddleston's Loki appears, cutting through flaming wreckage to grab the Tesseract. Oh no, that's the space stone. Oh no. Then we see Tom Holland on the school bus. The hair on his arm stands up. Spider-Sense.
Yeah, Spider-Sense.
Spider-Sense.
So Spidey. I've been saying since the movie that it's not that he doesn't have Spider-Sense, we just haven't seen it yet because there's so much. And like this, the fact they show it in the next movie he's in, like hopefully everyone that was upset that it wasn't included gets like a taste.
Which I think a very minor thing to be upset about.
Yeah, I mean, I get it because that's a huge part of the character.
Yeah, it is, but for that movie.
That movie was like, it didn't need it. Yeah, and he does stuff, it's involved.
It kind of felt like he used it during the ATM.
And during the vulture scene, like he used a spider sense. So I'm glad they used it so clearly in the trailer.
So then someone says he's come to us, probably talking about Thanos, whose death follows like a shadow. And an alien ship crash lands on a wrecked Earth, like it's a decimated Earth, and a worried Mantis stands with Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Thor, Hulk, and other heroes as other aircraft approach. Oh, that's just
huge, that image.
Iron Man, Thor, Doctor Strange, and Hulk? So come on!
That actress just got like, can you imagine like just getting cast as Mantis being like, that's amazing, I'm working with who today?
I'm here now.
Oh my god, so cool. And then Thanos says, this does put a smile on my face, as Gamora takes in the wreckage of the room kept by the Collector, and more Infinity Stones are pillaged.
Sounds like the Collector got a hold of another stone.
Maybe. Well, he had the Reality Stone from Thor Dark World.
Oh, that's right.
So he still has that.
Oh, that's right.
So at one point he had two.
And then
Power Stone is now on Xandar.
Right.
He still has the Aether, the Reality, the red.
Yikes.
So apparently Gamora goes to the aid of the Collector, and it's already gone. And Thanos is like, I've already got it.
Mm.
Peace. Like, how, like, I'm just going through it as fast as I can. Do you guys have anything that you want to say?
So far, just Spidey Sense.
Yeah? All right, because I'm hogging all of this.
Oh, it's
dense. Yeah, it's very dense.
It's super dense.
Is anyone on the chat saying anything? Do you want to say anything?
The laptop just died.
Oh, no!
Now we know who dies in Infinity War. But
I'm watching. I got my phone out, so I'm keeping.
Jonathan, you have something?
With as big as the movie's going to be, do you actually think that Shuma Gorath will be in it?
No, that's too much. That is.
If they do that, they should have a weakened version of him, and we'll have Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau, fry his brain.
Some of the Defenders come in because they're in New York.
So much,
dude. I will say this: if they show Shuma Gorath in this movie, I will not be able to contain myself, and I will actually pass out.
They could have something where he's like summoning him, but then someone.
Stops him? Sure, sure. They could do that. And if they do that, I'll get close to passing out. But if they actually show a giant eye with tentacles attacking New York and he was summoned by Doctor Strange, I will pass out in the theater from too much. Like,
I hope this movie's 4 hours long and there's an intermission like back in the day.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
I want,
that
like,
would be great. Let's all go to the lobby. Can we bring that back?
Yeah, let's bring that back.
My movie needs to. I'd like to change
go
DVDs.
Go get some more popcorn.
I'd like to insert the second VHS tape like Titanic.
Oh, amazing.
That's two VHS's. Oh my god.
Do you guys think they're going to release this trailer this weekend?
I think we might get something at Comic-Con. I don't know if they're going to release it on like
live. They will.
I think it would be something like 15 seconds of just boom, 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 boom.
See,
and then everybody has a freeze frame and then dissects.
See, I think they're going to show everything that they showed at D23. I think if they don't, like, the fans will find them,
I'm saying the populace.
We'll hold them down and like ask online. Them nicely.
Yeah.
I think they'll show it at Comic-Con. I don't think they're going to show it online.
Yeah, I don't, like, because Feige said, like, their thinking is they're probably not going to release it until Thor.
Right.
Ragnarok. Right. Which matches with the timing of it. Because
November for a summer release. I know it does exactly. Make sense. I don't think you know, if unless you're going to these cons, you're going to get to see anything until.
Yeah, and then so like they do Thor Ragnarok in November, then what comes out in February? Black Panther, show the full trailer. So you get a teaser
and then full trailer with
with Thor Ragnarok, full trailer with Black Panther, then the movie in, is it May?
It's perfect. The lineup works great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jen.
What about with DC? Because you know they're going to have something for Justice League. And not to say that they're petty between the two companies, but to be like, oh, well, here's Justice League. And it's like, oh, well, here's Infinity War. Just to kind of keep the hype going.
Well, they usually do announce. Yeah. They usually do put big trailers in front of the big releases in November. I think it'll probably be attached. It'll be the same one, though, from Thor.
Yeah, I think it would be very smart for them to ride that nerd wave, you know, keep on doing it.
No, I agree. And I think what you're suggesting is they have to show that at Comic-Con. Yeah. Otherwise, Warner Brothers wins.
Yeah.
Essentially, right?
Not that there's like an award, but it's always...
There's not, but there's always that talk of who won Comic-Con. Like, every single website will run, like, who won Comic-Con? Like, everyone will have that.
We all did.
Yeah, the fans.
We all won.
The fans won.
Although I will say one thing that disappointed me with Wonder Woman is that there was no Aquaman like post credits thing.
Yeah.
I really wanted that.
Me too.
I was
me
like,
too.
There was nothing. I was like, what are you doing? I'm here. Yeah. Show me something.
Yeah. Let's finish up with this this footage.
Yes.
That the Infinity Stones thing happens on the collectors. With the collector, and that's when Thanos walks through a portal onto Earth, big, hulking, and boasting
walking onto Earth.
Out of the chair, everybody. But here's my favorite. Star-Lord and Doctor Strange, both at the same time, leap into action, harnessing magic and airborne stepping stones. What?
People have seen that right now.
Doctor Strange is like, Star-Lord, I've got you. Step. Like, he's like, I'm running at him.
And it's like, what's Star-Lord going to do? Because he's a dude.
He lost his
half-god
powers.
With guns.
Yeah.
Unless he somehow, you know,
kept some of the Celestial. The Eternal.
But hasn't it been 4 years after? Is that...
Oh, that's true. It is 4 years after this.
Maybe he's harnessed his own celestial power, because otherwise he's just
a dude with some elemental guns.
He's Harlequin with a bat going after,
Enchantress. Yep.
Enchantress.
I think so, when we lost like the planet, he lost his celestial power.
Yeah, in that time he found his own celestial. He found his own celestial power.
So as he's doing that, even Spider-Man swings into action wearing a cool new suit. A lot of people are assuming it's the one that was at the end of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
We see Black Widow, who's blonde now, and Captain America, who's got a beard.
Because he's a criminal.
But
criminals
Black Widow
have beards.
Why is Black Widow blonde, though?
Because she's hiding.
She's hiding.
She's a spy, man.
Okay.
And Cap and a beard is okay. So like
maybe it's a wig. All right. She takes it off. All
right. Maybe.
When Cap
like,
has
like she hasn't
mantle,
worn wigs before.
Like Cap's had the mantle of like he's removed the mantle of Captain America before and had like the beard and been like
okay.
out in the run.
Okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
So did we pulled this from Comic Book Movie, yeah, this description. Yes. So this is all from Comic Book Movie. In the final moments, things truly get heightened because it hasn't been enough yet.
Not yet.
Yes, not yet.
Thanos grabs Thor's head in his meaty paw and regards it like a grape he's about to smash. Maybe he saw that as and then he says, "You can run from it, but your destiny still arrives." Oh my God, that's the best line. You can run from your destiny, but your destiny's still there. And then he holds up one hand and seemingly destroys a planet from far away. Or if the scene is taking place on Earth, it's our moon, and he heaves it at the remains of the Avengers.
Uh-huh. A moon!
A moon! Thanos is like, moon, boom, I win.
And then all you can think is like, remember Tony Stark back when he had that vision of everybody being decimated?
Uh-huh.
It's like,
this was it.
This was it.
It wasn't Ultron.
This, yeah, no, it wasn't Ultron. Yeah. It was this.
Unbelievable. All right, I don't think we can talk about anything else. Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan teased a one-hour-long fight scene.
Oh, my God.
I'm fine with it. Yes, yeah. Please. Yes.
We're just, yeah, we're just going to be in the chair like puddles. We're
change
all just going to be melted puddles.
Mackie echoed, imagine 25 airports all put together with 100 Avengers in reference to like the Civil War scene.
Yeah.
And Paul Bettany teased that the Vision can survive without the Infinity Stone.
Ooh, that's cool.
Because... Okay. They asked the GMA, Good Morning America, Infinity said, apparently use your soul stone in your head that keeps you alive. And then he says, but does it? And then Elizabeth Olsen said, yeah,
but does
it? Does
it?
So anyway, Merry Marvelites, get through it in like 2 minutes, please. Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We're at an hour 20 right now.
Wow.
Worth noting, we'll cover New Warriors casting and a couple of the other stories next week. The live chat, we didn't forget. We just had a lot to get through with D23.
Yeah, along with everything else. Okay, shout outs. And for the fan that tweeted the Black Panther costumes to me, thank you from D20.
Tim Varnell.
Tim Varnell at HOBBL3S. Hobbles. So thank you for that. And other shout outs. JJ Lang at JJ Lang tweeted. Shane Pickett at DadRad4. Colby_LGVK at Hylian Haraxis. Nathan Ramirez at Ramirez Nathan 77. Ali Junad at Chandler Fan. Ryan Street at R Street 1984. Rose Morales H at RM Hannigan. Glorious Greg at XG Hilly 929. Aaron Wilkerson at Aaron Wilk. And JR Savara at Sexy Jer Bear.
Nice.
Did we want to do... Okay.
I've got a shout-out for Gamer Girl.
Is it her birthday?
I think Gamer Girl has been around in our show for a very long time.
Oh, yeah, you have it.
Every birthday has just gotten better and better. And well, you can play with my joystick anytime.
More sexy birthday.
I just... I'm going to stop with the porn.
And old school futuristic. Welcome to the show. I've noticed the last few weeks, and a very happy birthday to you, sir. I like your name. Old school futuristic. Strong. Happy birthday.
So this is a fun question. Ash from at Ash Arnold 11. What are you guys most looking forward to at Comic-Con? Will there be any surprises?
I think there's always a lot of surprises. Here's what I think we can expect from the Marvel panel. Full trailer for Black Panther, stuff from Infinity War, if not everything they showed at D23, probably Ant-Man and the Wasp casting, Captain Marvel casting, full trailer for Thor Ragnarok.
We'll probably see
a full trailer for Defenders. We'll probably learn more about Punisher. We'll probably get a bit of a trailer for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Fox will probably reveal a bit more of their lineup about Dark Phoenix. And
I think we'll get Defenders confirmation in Infinity War, Fantastic Four confirmation in the Phase 4, X-Men confirmed and gifted, and Spider-Man and Deadpool team up. In my mind.
That's what I think is going to happen. I bet we also hear about Wasp casting.
That makes sense.
That's my guess.
That makes sense. These are really good questions, but we are running a little bit long, so
yeah, give us
one more from Jake at J Pingleby. Has this been the best overall year for great comic book movies? DC included. Quality, not quantity.
Yes.
Logan was great. Wonder Woman was great. Spider-Man Homecoming was great.
Guardians of the Galaxy was great.
Spider-Man was like super solid Spider-Man movie that we needed it to be.
Yeah.
Super different tones for all of them. Black Panther, we'll just include it in this year. So, yeah.
Logan was dark and real. Guardians of the Galaxy was different, funky, and made you feel emotions. Spider-Man was the most authentic, the animated series, the old Ditko and Robert Romita Sr., and Wonder Woman was like the most epic. Like, these were four different movies that were important. Yeah. They were great.
Yeah, I agree with that.
2017. Every year we get better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is getting better.
Yeah. It gets better, guys.
It gets better.
All right. Well, we'll keep some of those questions and ask next week, because we never want you guys to feel like we've passed you over, because we haven't. We just don't have time anymore because we talk too much.
All the awesomeness.
We want to thank
all
thank you for joining us, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
thank you for the patch. I've got a bag. I'm gonna put it in my bag. I think.
I love this poster and Chris Ecto.
Chris Ecto.
Great work. Thank you so much. And also Brian McClure. Oh my God. Thank you so much. We're like, we've got so much love. Thank you. Brian McClure, let us know if you've got a, like, an Instagram or if you sell any of your artwork. We'd love to promote you. Same with Chris Ecto. You have a shop, right?
Yeah. I think
Chris Ecto definitely has a shop. We're going to be tweeting it out.
Yes, we will be tweeting out your Twitter account.
But congrats to the baby on the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you know the gender yet?
Yeah, we're having a girl. So I have two girls.
What are you naming the new one?
Isla.
Isla. What's your little girl's name?
Harper.
Harper and Isla.
Yeah, Harper.
Awesome names. Harper Lee?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Her nickname is Harry because my wife's a big Harry Potter fan.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
That's adorable. I like that.
If I have my way, my new daughter, her middle name will be Nublar or Lasorna.
Just like Isla. So. Yeah.
Wow.
If we can, no, it's not. That's
deep cut nerdom. You heard it first.
Wow.
Her name is Isla Dionycus. all right. Where can we find you? Like, let's close it all out.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty. Also Snapchat, Darth Thin Mints. Darth is Invader, Thin Mints as in Girl Scout cookies. Just look at my Twitter. A lot of fun, really interesting stuff is coming up, and I'm just going to put it all on there.
Great. Koi Boy.
You can find me at CoyJandreau on Twitter and Instagram, where I do interviews about stuff that you guys tell me to watch, because I love most things and I like talking about it, unlike the Gifted and the Humans. Everything's really good out there. So thanks for talking to me, and you guys are great.
Ollie?
Guys, find me on all social media platforms at OllieDreamer. Can't wait for Comic-Con.
Jonna?
I'm on Instagram at HonkForJunk, and I'm not on the Twitter, so just... look me up. There's lots of pictures of my daughter. So
that's awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
My name is Matt Key. You can find me on Twitter at the Matt Key. I also have an Instagram that I never use called Java Shambhala. That's coffee and Shambhala.
Well, I've had it for years.
I've had it for like a month, and I just decided maybe I should start putting it out there. I'll actually start using it.
Java Shambhala.
I love coffee and I love Doctor Strange. Also, I write for Geek Girl Authority. I actually wrote a big piece on the children of Thanos and who they are and why you should be terrified of them. I'm on the Wednesday Club on Geek and Sundry, and here on Tuesdays. And that's on Wednesdays, obviously, at 7 o'clock. Anyway,
Wednesday Club on Thursdays. Wednesday Club, confirms. Yeah.
Get out. All right. We'll see you next week after Comic-Con for a giant show. Get a bit up!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.